We're in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Ches. We just discussed how the Plishtim were on one mountaintop, and Klal Yisrael was on the opposite mountaintop, and Goliath, the Ish HaBinayim, the man who went in between the two camps, would come out, and with his armor, and he was a giant, and his weaponry. And we're on to Pasuk Ches, and let's see what happens. Vayamod Goliath stood, Vayikrael Marchos Yisrael. And he called to the Jewish battalions, the Jewish army. Vayomer Lehem, and he said to them, Loma Seitzu Laruch Milchama, why are you going out to wage battle? Now the funny thing is, the Plishtim were the ones who started. In other words, they were the ones who gathered, and Klal Yisrael was afraid they weren't starting, but Goliath sort of said, why are you going out to wage battle? Halo anochi aplishti. I'm the plishti. Va'atim avodim l'shol. You're slaves to shol. Beruluchem ish. Choose for yourself a person. Choose a man. V'yerid eloi. And let him come down to me and we'll fight. He was in the valley between the mountains. The Targum discusses exactly what he meant by Halo Anochi Aplishti. Behold, I'm the Plishti. We know he was a Plishti. What he was telling them is, I'm the Plishti. Remember, I'm the one who killed Chofni and Pinchas. Eli HaKoyin had two sons, and they went out to battle, and they took the Aron with them. Goliath, back then, had already showed that he was the fierce warrior. He was the one who killed Chofni and Pinchas. And he said, I captured the Aron of Hashem and I brought it to the Avodah Zarah, Beis Dagon, to the Avodah Zarah of the Plishtim, and it was there for 7 months. And every single battle that we fight, I lead the attack. And you know what? After all of that, Halo Anochi Aplishti, I'm a regular Plishti. They didn't make me the king. I'm just one. In other words, the Plishtim had certain leaders, but they never had a monarchy. They didn't have... We talked earlier, they had what was called like Sarnay Plishtim. They had different governors. It's mentioned in Yoshua, and we had in the beginning of Shmuel, they didn't have a king. So, Halo Anochi Aplishti, I have a whole history behind me, what I did for my people, and yet I'm still a regular Plishti. On the other hand, V'atim Avodim L'Shol, you're the servants, the slaves of Shol. What did Shol do for you? Now the truth is Shol had met Goliath before, because we learned Shol was the one who, when Goliath grabbed the Aron, when he was stealing it, Shol came and he took the Luchos and he ran back. But in terms of winning the victory, he said, ah, what is Shol, what did he do for you? And we learned there were certain battles that he did, but here was a taunt. He knew that Shol wouldn't be able to take up the challenge. He said, I'm the Plishti and you're slaves to Shol. Choose for yourself a man, V'yered Eloi, and let him come down to do battle with me. Could be he's stressing, Halo Anochi HaPlishti, I am the Plishti. Meaning, you're right, I'm not the king, but I'm certainly a very prominent person. And if I'm going to have this fight with one of you, it's really, why should I risk my prestige to fight to a guy who's an Eved L'Shol? I'm not even demanding for you to present the king. You're slaves to Shol. Any one of you, it can be a person who has no real reason to live, a guy who's a plain slave. Just choose anyone. And I'm going to risk the fact that I am the Plishti. I'm going to put everything that's my whole stature at stake. In other words, I have a lot to lose if I lose this battle. But I'm the Plishti, and yet I'm willing to fight any one of you. Avodim L'Shol. And he's also... Now over here, the Abarbanel mentions the Chachmei HaNoitzrim. A few times he quotes them what the Goyisha scholars, the Christian scholars would debate different areas of theology and what they would say and you know, where they're wrong or what he disagrees with. He mentions that it was very common people would have a duel. If two people had a debate and it couldn't be proven who was right, it couldn't be taken to court, one guy, let's say, accuses another of slandering him or saying false things, and it's not, he felt insulted, his honor was slighted. The guy would say, let's prove who's right. and there was no real way of proving it in court. So the goyim would have what they would call a duel. Two people would stand, let's say, back to back, and then walk, 50 paces away from each other, and turn around and then shoot. And the idea would be, you know, they had it in America with Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, yeah. It's happened. And he mentions that was very common in the Malchus Edom and by the Yishmaelim. It's interesting. In other words, both the Edom, the Western civilization, and the Arabs, they all had this concept. The idea being that if two people fight it out and they're basically equal, Hashem will decide who's right. In other words, if the guy gets shot, obviously he was guilty. And if not, he was innocent. And they wanted to say that David and Goliath, you see such an idea that Goliath is going to fight David, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides who's right. So there's actually some basis for this method of settling disputes. And others argue and said you can't bring a proof from here. Normally a duel is not a fair judgment of right or wrong. Just over here, David had a nevuah. Anyways, the Abarbanel says this can't be a duel at all. What was this idea that Goliath is saying, let's have a one-on-one, and whoever wins, I'll show that he's the one who's right, and everyone will be servants. It's not a duel over here, because a duel has certain rules. First of all, there has to be some debate, some suffix, some question. Were you right? Was I right? And therefore, Hashem should somehow prove through this duel where justice lies. Obviously, it's not a question of right or wrong. Everyone agrees that Klal Yisrael is living on their land. There's no dispute over land over here. There's no dispute over religion. The Plishtim wanted to take over, and Klal Yisrael wanted to remain independent the way they were. There's not a question of right or wrong. The Plishtim was starting up. And not only that, whenever there's a duel, you have to discuss exactly what we're going to clarify, what the rules are. And we're going to see in a moment, it says in Pasuk Tes, Im yuchal hi lochem iti. Goliath says if he can fight with me, v'hikoni, and he'll strike me, v'yinu lochem la'avodim. We'll be for you as avodim. We'll be your slaves. V'imani uchal lo. If I'm able to overcome David, v'hiki Stephen, I'll strike David. Oh, he didn't say David. He said, whichever one of you, you choose any man. If I am the victor over that person, v'yisem lanu la'avodim, you'll be for us as avodim. And you will serve us. But he says whenever there's a duel and you want to prove something in such a manner, you have to write down clearly what the clause is. This has to be a more detailed contract. What does it mean you're avodim? Does it mean you pay taxes? Does it mean you can get whipped? Does it mean, what does it mean you're our slaves? What exactly is the... And besides that, we all know whenever there's a duel, you have to have the two people have to be equally armed in order to show it's a fair fight. And the only thing that can affect the outcome is their personal skill and whatever the hashkocha from Hashem. But over here you have it's two, we'll see in a moment. Goliath is tremendously armed, and David comes without any weapons, without any armor, with just his slingshot. And he mentions the truth is David, we'll see, had an advantage. He said David didn't want to wear the armor because it was hard for him to walk. He said David's plan was, if whatever, he wouldn't be able to kill Goliath, he would just run away. Goliath could barely move. He was so tied down with his armor. So he said, the battlefield isn't equal over here. The Goliath against David. It's not a fair competition. And where are the judges? You know, like in a boxing match, the guy comes and he makes sure that everyone's playing fair and nobody's cheating. And I was over here, where are the judges? It's not at all a duel. We'll see in a moment. The Abarbanel learns this whole thing was just a taunt. Goliath was just making fun of Klal Yisrael and disgracing them, and it wasn't meant taken seriously. Because if this was a serious duel in a real condition, the truth is, as soon as David killed Goliath, the Plishtim surrendered and been slaves. And we'll learn later on, David killed Goliath, and everybody ran away. You gotta keep to the deal. So Avarbanel says the whole thing was not a duel, and it was just to make fun of Klal Yisrael and to show how weak and incapable of fighting they were. The Malbim learns, we'll see in a moment, that Goliath actually did propose this to be a duel. And he said, why should we fight? Why should you go out and wage a battle? and hundreds of thousands of people are going to die on both sides. I would like it to be a duel, that I'm the plishti, you're slaves of Shaul, let's fight a one-on-one, and whoever wins, his nation will be the victor, and the one that loses, the nation will be vanquished, and they'll have to be slaves. And he really meant it to be like that. The problem was, from Goliath's standpoint, is that nobody was interested in the deal. So we'll see why he changed his tactic in a moment. But Goliath initially wanted it to be a duel between the two of them. When he said, Beru lochem ish, choose for yourself a man, in Pasuk Ches, Beru lochem ish, choose for yourself a man, could be he's alluding to the fact Shaul. Shaul's the king. And he stressed, Vatem avodim l'shaul, you're slaves to Shaul. It's like hinting to the fact that what kind of a king do you have? In other words, who knows, maybe his words would even incite a rebellion in Klal Yisrael. That here they see they have a king who's not standing up for them and he's not going to fight. And we know initially, when Shaul first became king and there was a problem with Nachash HaAmoni, Shaul vigorously went ahead and he gathered together an army and he went to fight. But now already Shaul had this ruach ra, Shaul had these bouts of depression. Shaul didn't feel the ability. He himself was quaking with fear. He wasn't able to fight Goliath. Beru lochem ish. The Medrash also says ish sometimes is used to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem ish milchama. Beru lochem ish. Choose for yourself the one who's the ish milchama. And let's see if HaKadosh Baruch Hu could fight. The Gemara discusses this in Saita and Daf Mem Beis. A lot of chazals on this sinning of David and Goliath. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer, which we'll see in a moment, is he's asking to choose an Ish. I'll send him somebody he's referred to as a Ben Ish. He's like an unknown. He's just known by his father. And we'll see in Pasuk Yud Beis, V'David Ben Ish Efrosi. He's referred to a Ben Ish. You're saying, Beru lochem Ish, choose an Ish. I'll send you a Ben Ish, an unknown. And we'll see what happens. But that was Goliath's challenge. Choose an ish, and let's have a battle, and whoever wins will be the victor. Chazal say that Goliath's mouth caused him to stumble. It's hard for us to appreciate the power of speech. You even see now a lot of people are very, which is, you learn out from here, a person should be very careful the way he speaks. The person shouldn't say, you know, like when he gets sick or something like that, he shouldn't refer to himself as suffering any type of calamity. Because the person's words have a power. And the fact that Goliath said, choose for you, Beru lochem ish, choose for yourself an ish, v'yered Eloi, and he'll go down to me, that's like implying that his opponent has the upper hand. The opponent is coming down, is pressing down on Goliath. He's got the upper hand. And then Goliath mentions in the condition, the first thing he says is, if he's able to battle with me and he will strike me. He should have first mentioned if I can defeat him. Why first mention the first possibility is that the Jewish warrior wins? Again, he stumbled, he spoke in an improper manner. And later on we'll see Goliath refer to himself, what, am I a dog? You know, even making that suggestion, Hakelev Anochi. The way he spoke had some type of either give us a hint of what he's in for, or it had some effect on his future. But a person should be careful the way he speaks. And Goliath's piv hechshiloi, his mouth caused him to stumble and say this improper thing. But there was nobody to oppose him. Pasuk Yud, vayomer haplishti. So now the plishti said, okay, this is the way the Malbim learns. If somebody would have immediately come and opposed Goliath, so at that point, you're right, they would have had a deal, they would have set up judges, and it would have been a fair duel with equal weapons, and they would have written down the exact conditions based on who wins, what will happen, but nobody came. Now at this point, it's not yet an embarrassment for Klal Yisrael, because if somebody gets up and he says the two countries are going to battle it out, it's going to be a one man against one man, and that's going to decide everybody's fate. It's not wrong to say, I don't like that condition. I would like our country to fight your country. What kind of a business is this? One against one. And what happens if our man, for a moment, slips or loses himself? Our whole nation should be subjugated. So the fact that Klal Yisrael didn't want to take up that challenge, that is not yet an embarrassment. And nothing was happening. We'll see this went on for days and days. And but Vayomer HaPlishti, the Plishti said, Ani chayrafti es marchos Yisrael hayom hazeh. I've disgraced the Jewish army, the battalions, today. Because tenu li ish, I'm just telling you, give me a man v'nilocham al yochad, and we'll fight together. Meaning, okay, you don't like the condition I said in Pasuk Tes. You don't want to say that our whole future should be dependent on this battle. I can understand that. But now I have a different challenge. I'm the Plishti. Is there any single Jewish person who can fight me? Now you're right, we'll fight together. And if he loses, you're right, okay, you won't have to all be avodim because he lost. Obviously somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. So I can understand you don't want the whole nation to be dependent on the outcome of this duel. But there should at least be a fight. Do you have somebody who can get up? Somebody who can oppose me? And if not, that's a disgrace that there's not a single Jewish person who can at least have a contest. That I'm standing here and there's nobody who can get up and oppose me. Tenu li'ish, give me a man v'ninocham al yachad. Yachad, and let us fight together. Vayishma Shol v'chol Yisrael. Shol and the whole Jewish people heard es divrei ha-plishti ha'ele, the words of this plishti, vayechatu, they were broken. They were like physically broken. They didn't have the strength to move. They just felt that they were powerless. Physically, it took a toll on them. Vayiru, and they were afraid in their heart. They just didn't have any courage anymore. Ma'oid, very much. They were totally helpless. They didn't know what to do. The David ben Ishef Frosi Hazeh. David, the son of this Ish Efrosi. Efrosi could be a reference. The common explanation we've had for Efrosi is a prominent person. David was the son of an Ish Efrosi, a choshev person. And he was an important person. Not in his little shtetl where there were plain people. He was an Ish Efrosi mi Beis Lechem Yehuda. Beis Lechem Yehuda, which was always known as having great people, outstanding Talmid Chachamim and leaders, and among that crowd in Beis Lechem Yehuda, this Ish Efrosi was a prominent person among prominent people, and he had a son, David. David was the Ben Ish Efrosi. Hazer, this one, the one that we've talked about previously. Ushmo Yishai, the person we're referring to, his name is Yishai, and when the Pasuk writes Ushmo Yishai, his name is Yishai, is to highlight the fact we're dealing with a tzaddik. Velo Shmo Nevonim, and he had 8 sons, which is facts we know already. We know that Yishai was in Beis Lechem Yehuda. Remember, Shmuel went there and anointed David to be king. And we learned it was a very short time ago that there were 7 sons and none of them were the king, and David was chosen. So he had 8 sons. We know all this already. Vo'ish b'mei Shol, the man in the days of Shol, was Zokain. Zokain normally means first that it could be in a Talmud Chacham, and the simple meaning is he was old. The Targum used the word Siv. He was an old man. And Bov Anoshim, he came among people, meaning he was among people. He was the one who came. He was chosen. Or Chazal learned whenever he went somewhere, he went with a whole entourage. He went with a tremendous crowd. As a Chazal, they went with like 600,000 people wherever he went. As he was a very, very chosh of a person. Now the question is what this pasuk is doing here, because what it should just say is, it seems to be, it should say David had 3 brothers at the battlefield, and his father sent him to see how they're doing. To introduce us again, David is the son of an Efrosi. His name was Yishai. He was chosh of. He had 8 sons. We know all this information already. But the Malbim says what it's coming to answer is 2 questions, 2 unspoken questions. We're going to see in a moment, David comes to the battlefield, and he's surprised. He hears this plishti, and he's saying he's disgracing Klal Yisrael. They don't have anybody to fight, and he's asking what's going on. What do you mean he doesn't know what's going on? Somebody who's a Gibor Chaya, we learned before, he's courageous and he's an Ish Melchama, he's able to fight. Such a person should be looking for an opportunity to prove himself. David should have been at the battlefield. I mean, there's a war going on, and David like wanders. He's coming with his, he's coming with the cheese and everything. He doesn't know what's going on. You know, the battle going on. Where's David? Besides that, David was the Noisei Kalim for Shaul. He was the weapons carrier, and he used to go to play music, and he was together with Shaul. All of a sudden he wanders, he doesn't know what's going on. We'll see in a moment. Goliath was there for 40 days. And the Pasuk doesn't discuss that as a question, but it's an unspoken question. Where's David this whole time? So the Malbim explains, and the other Mefarshim, that the rule was, when they took soldiers for the army, they didn't deplete all the sons of one family. Or as every family, depending on how many sons there were, a certain number went to the war, and a certain number stayed home. It shouldn't be that chas v'shalom, if there'd be a defeat, the whole family is wiped out. So certain ones would go, and certain ones would stay home. And of course, there were different factors to take in mind. If the father is old and he needs sons to help out, or if the person has a large estate and he needs more help at home, so more sons were allowed to remain home, depending on the family situation. So the Pasuk, before we discuss why David's coming to visit the battlefield and where has he been this whole time, you should know David was Ben Ishef Rossi Hazeh. His father was very choshev. And somebody like that really should have sons around to help out and to manage the state and to help him. He was from Beis Lechem Yehuda. His name was Yishai, and he had 8 sons. And we'll see in a moment that he contributed. He had 3 sons contributing to the war effort. He had 8 sons. The oldest ones were fighting. And that's why David, we'll see in a moment, stayed home. So even though he was courageous and had certainly go to war to prove himself, but under the circumstances, he was expected to be home. And we'll see in a moment why David was not at the battlefield. Bo'ish b'mei Shaul was zaken. Yishai himself was already old. Bova Noshim, he came among a group of people, but he was the person that needed to have sons around to serve him and to help him in keeping with his stature. And that's why David was not at the battlefield. Vayelchu Shloshes b'nei Yishai HaGedolim. The 3 sons of Yishai, the older ones, the Gedolim, went. Holchu Acharei Shaul. They went after Shaul. La Milchoma, to war. It's very redundant. We'll see in a moment. The 3 sons of Yishai went. They went after Shaul to battle. V'shem Shloshes b'nei, in the name of these 3 sons, Asher Holchu B'Milchoma, that went to war. Eliyav HaBachor, the oldest one was Eliyav, Umishneu Avinodov, and the second one was Avinodov, V'Hashlishi Shama, and the third one was Shama. That was the name of the 3 oldest, and we mentioned, in fact, their names before when Shmuel was choosing the king. Those 3 were presented together with the younger brothers, and of course they weren't chosen, it was just David. But we've already been introduced to them. The David Hu Hakatan. David was the young one. Ushlosha Hagedolim, and the 3 old ones, Holchu Acharei Shaul, went after Shaul. It's interesting, but there's a discussion in Yoridea. We all know the mitzvah of Kibud Ovaim, and the Gemara Chazal learn out, Kavid Esavicha Ve'esimecha, Chazal learn out from the extra words and letters, other people that you have to honor that is included under Kibud Ovaim. And it says, L'rabu sechicha hagadol, that a person has to honor his older brother. And one of the questions discussed, and the reason is because the older brother, normally the bechor, the older brother takes over the position of the father, so it's a covet for the father if his eldest son is also accorded a degree, a respect. So it's covet for the father if you honor the older brother. The question is, what about honoring the older brothers? What happens if you're one of the younger sons and you have more than one ahead of you? Do you have to honor if there are a few older sons? And it's a discussion in Yoridea. But, and it's machloikis, the Chidah learns that a person is mechuyev to honor all of the older siblings. I say that's machloikis, but that's what he learns. And he explains that David was anointed as the king. And yet the Pasuk stresses that David remained the Katan, and it very clearly Eliyahu was the Bachor. And the number two, it wasn't just there was one Bachor. Number two was Avinadav. Number three was Shammah. And David was at the bottom of the totem pole. So he gave covet to all those that were older than him. And it's very redundant, the Lashon of Vayelchu, they went. And some of Forshim explain that there were three reasons why these sons went to the war. The first reason was because they themselves wanted to excel. They were obviously courageous and valiant warriors until they met Goliath. But without Goliath on the scene, they were brave people who wanted to prove their mettle in battle. And therefore, it mentions them by name. The name of the three sons, there was Eliyahu, and there was Avinadav, and there was Shammah. Each one of them, in his own right, was mentioned by name because they each wanted to prove themselves in battle. And the name of the three sons of Yishai, who went after Shaul, is implying that Yishai, when he had to choose which son should go to war, I guess he got the draft notice that we want the three sons from your family. He said, oh, the three ones that Yishai wanted to go were the oldest ones. He felt were most appropriate to go to war. And when Shaul had to choose his soldiers, Shlosha Gedolim Holcho Achrei Shaul, Shaul wanted those three. So basically, those three wanted to go, and their father wanted them to go, and Shaul wanted them to go, and David was not desired on the battlefield. David hu akotan, David, he's the katan. And the Gemara learns out, hu akotan is like stressing that whatever he went through in life, he was able to maintain that humility, that he remained the katan. But he's the leader of Klal Yisrael, but he remained humble and with his anivus, with his humility. He was the katan. So v'David hu ha-katan, he's the katan of the three gedolim out with Shaul. V'David holeich v'shav me'al Shaul. David was going and returning from before Shaul. Whenever Shaul wanted him to come and he played the music, Shaul had the melancholy. Whenever he was summoned, he went to Shaul, but he was constantly going back home also. Liros son aviv beis lochem, to graze the sheep of his father in beis lochem. He felt torn between his work obligation and his familial obligations. But he was holich v'shav, constantly going and coming. Vayigash ha-plishti hashkin v'harev. The plishti approached early in the evening. Vayisyatsev arboim yom. And he stood there for 40 days. Goliath, we learned, came from Orpah. And Orpah was the one who had accompanied her mother-in-law Naomi from the fields of Moab. She was initially going to come back and join Klal Yisrael, and Naomi told her, if you want to come back, don't come back, but go back to your father's house, go back. And Orpah did that. No, she didn't feel the sincerity that Ruth did. But anyways, Orpah picked up a little over these years that she was married, and she knew a little what was going on with Klal Yisrael. And it could be she passed on some of these ideas to her son Goliath. And Goliath knew that a big zechus for Klal Yisrael is saying Kriyat Shema. That a Klal Yisrael's makir, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is one power, and he's our Elokim. To say Kriyat Shema, when they went out to war, V'omar Aleihem Shema Yisrael, Atem Kravim Hayom LaMilchama, the Mashuach Milchama, whenever Klal Yisrael went to battle, the Kohen would tell them, Shema Yisrael, you're going to battle. And then he would give them the instructions, they shouldn't be afraid. But he used the word Shema Yisrael to remind them, and to mention the Zechus, that in the Zechus of Shema Yisrael, Klal Yisrael deserves to be saved. So we're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's army on this world. We're makir that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Goliath came Hashkem Vaharev with his thundering voice and his intimidation, and the people couldn't concentrate. They couldn't say Shema. His kavana was to be mevatel them from saying Kriya Shema. And he did it for 40 days, because Klal Yisrael had a zechus of Kabbalah Satayra. that the Torah was received. Moshe Rabbeinu was 40 days on the mountain receiving the Torah. For 40 days he stood there being mavata them from Kriya Shema. Or it could be the way Rashi seems to describe in Saita, the fact that it took 40 days to Klal Yisrael receive the Torah, that gave those 40 that 40 day delay. It took 40 days. It was a delay of 40 days till Moshe came with the Luchos. That 40-day delay gave Goliath the strength to stand for 40 days. But whatever the deeper meaning, there was below the surface, there were a lot of kavonis and a lot of yesodis, how Goliath was able to confront Klal Yisrael by Yisyatzev Arboim Yoim, and he stood there for 40 days early and by evening with these disgraceful words. Vayomer Yishai. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayomer Yishai leDavid beno. Yishai said to David his son, Kach no lachecha, take now for your brothers, Ephas hakoli, and Ephas a measure of koli is parched grain that's dried out. Once you take the grain and you singe it over the fire, you dry it out, it doesn't have the moisture, it can last for a long time. So that's like preserved, they can eat that much later. And an Ephah, we know the Omer was an Asiris Ha'efa, was a tenth of an Efa, and that's a person eats a tenth of an Efa per day. The normal average person, tenth of an Efa. So if you have a full Efa, that's a 10-day ration. There were three sons that he was sending it to, so it's enough for more than 3 days of this Efa Sakoli. And the truth is, if they eat other food, it would last them longer. Hazeh, take this Efa Sakoli Hazeh. Vasar alechem hazan, these 10 breads, the breads were already fresh, then they spoil. So vahorei tamachna lachechon, run to the camp, bring the bread while it's still fresh, bring the bread to your brothers. This pasuk is right after the words vayisyatzev arboim yom. They were there for 40 days. Could be when they first went to the battlefield, they brought enough supplies for a short encounter, but after 40 days they were running out of food. So Yishai sent a new supply. So that's what you should bring to your brothers. Ve'isaseres charitzei hacholov, and the 10 charitzei hacholov, the simple meaning is cheeses. 10, like cakes of cheese. Ho'ela, these 10 cheeses bring, tovi l'sar ha'olav, bring to the officer of the thousands. Every 1,000 men had an officer. Bring the Sarah Elef, the one who's in charge of that 1,000, the 1,000 for our family, for your brothers, and give something to the officer. Vesachecha tifko l'shalom, and inquire after your brothers that everything should be well for them. Let's bring this as a present to the commander. Let him know that this is being sent because we know that you are the officer over Eliyav, Avinodov, and Shammah, and everything should be well with them. I guess a little present to the general always helps. Ves aruvosom tikoch. And the simple meaning aruvosom is like the word arev. Arev means to be pleasant. You know, one of the meanings is areva. Ves aruvosom tikoch. Find out how they're doing. Find out if everything's going well with them. Inquire after their welfare. See how your brothers are doing. By the way, it's interesting how this pasuk is actually used. If somebody has two sets of silverware, for example, and they're identical, and he wants to have one for milchiks and one for fleishiks, but they look the same pattern. So you have to make a mark in one of your sets that you realize this one's the milchik set, and the other one is the fleishik. The minig, it's brought down in Yoredeya, the minig is to make the mark in the milchika set. Now, if you have milchiks and fleishik silverware, make a mark on the milchika one. And they bring this pasuk as a simen, v'esaseres charitzei hacholav. When you make the choritz, when you make a groove in something, you make a niche, you make a mark, do it on the cholv, do it on the milchiks. So when you get home and you don't know which set am I supposed to mark, so immediately you'll think, oh, it says in Shmuel Aleph, yeah, v'esaseres charitzei hacholav, of course it's the milchiks that you got to mark. So, but anyways, the simple meaning, of course, is charitzei hacholav means bring these cheeses to the sar ha'olav, and find out how your brothers are doing, ves arubosom tikoch, and take their arubosom. Find out how they're doing. The truth is there are a number of different explanations for Aruvasam. One of them is, as we just mentioned, the Targum says, V'yos tivehon taisi. You know, let's find out how they're doing. The Radak has another pshat, that the Radak and the Ralbag have similar pshatim, but the idea being, if you're away from home and you run out of money, what do you do? Assuming you can't call home and ask for more, what do you do? So people would give a mashkin, give a guy a watch, give him something, and tell him, you know, hold this as a security that I'll pay you back, and in the meantime, lend me whatever I need. So what Yishai did was, he sent them their supplies for what his sons would eat, and he sent something to the commander, and he also sent along some cash. If your brothers gave over anything as a security because they needed to borrow something, they've been away from home for 40 days, if they needed to borrow something, make sure to redeem whatever collateral was given and get it back from them. Or, take along with you some supplies that they could use as collateral in the future. In other words, how much food can I send them? After a while, it's going to spoil. But take along something if they have something and they can always give it as a security if they need to borrow or they need something for the future. There's another chazal, which we're going to get into later, and it's going to be very important later on in the story with David and Uri and Bathsheba. We'll see, we'll get to it later. But what he was telling them was a different idea totally. When somebody goes off to war, if chas v'shalom, he's missing in action, and we don't know what happened to him, so his wife is stuck. That's the classical case of an iguna. The woman can't marry. She's not divorced. She doesn't know. She doesn't have a marriage here. The husband's gone. So there's no husband. She's not divorced. She's stuck. They're going off to war. What Yishai told his David, go and get from them a get. Let them send a get to their wife. And if they don't come back from battle, the wife is divorced. In other words, the get will be, you'll go and you'll pick up the get from them. You give it to the wife right now. And this way, if they end up missing in battle, the wife is divorced. You know, she's already received the divorce. It could be even, the truth is, even if they know that the husband died, the wife would need yibum if there are no children. And by giving a get would save her from the process of yibum. She'll be free to marry whoever she wants. So v'esaruvosam tikoch could be like a lashon of sagi nor. Sometimes in Chazal, when somebody, let's say, is blind, they use the term sagi nor. He's full of light. He's illuminated. Because I don't want to say that he's lacking vision. So I say he's like full of vision, but my intention is actually the opposite. Aruvosam can mean something that, like a taruvis, something that makes a mixture, something that makes a connection. V'esaruvosam tikoch, there's something that makes a connection between them. And I actually mean bring me a document that's going to separate them. But I don't want to say to break up the marriage. So I use the term v'esaruvosam tikoch, take from them something that's going to bring a closeness between them. And my intention is actually to bring a get. But Yishai was telling David he should make sure to bring back a get. And as I say, this is going to come nogeya later on. But Yishai was introducing a new chiddush, that when somebody goes off to war, he should make sure that his wife has a get, that she's not left stranded. And we'll see later on, David HaMelech took that lesson from his father. That was a private thing in the family, and he instituted in his army, Kol Yotzei L'Mochemes Beis David, get Krisus Kosev L'Ishtai, whoever would go to war in David HaMelech's army, always gave a get to his wife. And we'll see later on, there's a Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Either the get was given conditionally, or the get was given to the wife with a condition. If I don't come back, the husband would say, or if the husband should die, the get takes place immediately today. As he gave her the get today, and he said, if I don't come back in a year from now, the get takes place actually right now, and it's when he goes off to battle. And if he does come back, it's not a get. Or it could be it was an absolute get, a total get, but with like sort of an understanding. There wasn't a get because there was anything wrong with the marriage. Of course, it was understood. If the husband comes back alive, they'll remarry. Whatever the case was, v'esaruvosam tikoch, Yishai was saying, obviously they had gone to war in a rush. They hadn't given a get. David HaMelech should take care of that. David. V'shol v'heima, shol and they, the sons, v'chol ish Yisrael, and all of the Jewish men, be'emek ha'elah. They were all in this valley. Nilchami mean plishtim, they were fighting with the plishtim. Either that means that they were preparing to fight, because we'll see, actually there's no battle going on, or perhaps in the valley there were small skirmishes, that the main army was on top of the mountain and Goliath used to go into the valley, but maybe there were some skirmishes in the Amek, in the valley. Ho'elo, the simple meaning is Ho'elo is a type of tree that grows in the valley, and it was known as Amek Ho'elo. Now, this pasuk again is like in the middle of nowhere, in other words, Yishai sending David, and we'll see in a moment, David went. Pasuk Chafkul tells David went. Why do you have to tell me with Shaul and the army? As we know who they were. We already learned where it was before. But it could be this was all part of Yishai's instructions. That David had no idea what was going on. Yishai had to tell him, by the way, you know where your brothers are? They are over there fighting with the plishtim. It's like David had no idea what was going on. But you should know, you'll find them in this place. They're fighting with the plishtim. Vayashkim David baboiker. David got up early in the morning. It was the rizus. Vayashkim, right? Vayashkim Avram baboiker. Yeah, Vayashkim David baboiker. He immediately went early in the morning. Vayitush es hatzon al shomer. And he abandoned the sheep by a shepherd, right? Somebody to watch them. Vayisov vayelech. And he lifted up the load. And he traveled all those cheeses and breads. And he carried it. Kashir tzivo Yishai as Yishai commanded him. The pasuk is, we're going to see in a moment, Eliyahu got very angry at David. Why did you abandon the sheep? Why are you coming to the battle? You want to see some excitement? The pasuk's letting you know. First of all, he didn't abandon the sheep. He left the sheep, Al Shomer, with a guard. Or he had somebody in charge of watching them. It wasn't like he left without taking care of the business at home first. He left the sheep with somebody. And also, he carried and he went, Kashir Tzivo Yishai. It wasn't his own decision. It wasn't like he wanted to go. Yishai sent him. So his father told him to go. He went and he went first thing in the morning, even though he probably knew that his brothers, we'll see in a moment, that his brothers resented him and looked down on him. But if his father sent him, he went first thing in the morning. Vayavo Hamagolo, and he came to the circle. The camp used to camp in a circle. First of all, this way, no matter which way the enemy attacks, the camp is always facing them, because they're all facing the outer perimeter of the circle. Also, nobody can desert, because they'll see whoever leaves. So it's the safest way to camp is in this magolin, like a circle. But he came to the circle, and it seems like this was the big day, that finally there was going to be a battle. V'achayel hayotzeel hamarocha, and the army that was going out to the battle was in the process. And there were battle cries. Everyone was yelling and there were shouts. Everyone's getting ready to go in against the plishtim. Batarokh Yisrael uplishtim. The Yisrael and the plishtim arranged their army. Marocha likras marocha. One battalion facing the other. And they were finally ready to do war. And it's again one of those examples of the hashkocha that at the last minute, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, you know, David is supposed to kill Goliath. He didn't show up before the 40 days were over. And now when the battle was actually going to start, all of a sudden David comes. Vayitosh David esakelim. So he came. He came to the Magola. He came to the encampment. But everyone was leaving. So Vayitosh David esakelim. David just left whatever kelim, whatever utensils, whatever luggage, whatever he had with him. He left all the kelim me'olav from on him, al yad shomer ha'kelim, by the person who was in charge of watching all the kelim. He deposited with the guy in charge of watching the personal possessions. By yorot ha'marach, and he ran to battle. Vayavo, when he came, vayishol echov l'sholom. Came to battle, not immediately to fight. He had a mission. He had to find out how his brothers were doing. So even though it was a place of a sakana, he's running toward the battle, he left everything and he ran to find out how his brothers are doing. And he asks his brothers how they're doing. He was speaking with them. And behold, this Isha Benayim, this man who stood amongst between the camps. Ole, he went up. Goliath HaPlishti Shemo. Goliath HaPlishti was his name. Migas, he came from Gas. Mimarchos Plishtim, from the Plishti camp. Some of Forshim explained the ksiv is Mima'aros, from the word Ma'ara, a cave. That the Plishtim, the soldiers themselves, on one hand, Goliath was taunting the Jewish camp and nobody was able to get up and fight against Goliath. On the other hand, the Plishtim did know that every single war they lost. So they were hedging their chances, and they had caves in the mountain where they were hiding. And Goliath would go out in between them and say, who's going to come and fight? But a lot of the Plishtim had their cave and their hideout. They would come out, they'd go back into their cave. But anyways, he came, Mimaros Plishtim would mean he came out of the Plishti caves, that they had these caves where they hid in the mountain place. But the Kri is, the way we read it, Mimar Chos Plishtim, Goliath came out from the Plishti camp. Vayedaber kadvorim ho'ele, and he spoke the words that we've mentioned before. Who is able to give a person that he can fight me? Vayishma David, and David heard. David understood. David took the full implication of what's going on here, that this is a disgrace for the Klal Yisrael. V'chol Ish Yisrael, and all of the Ish Yisrael, all of the Yidden Birosim Esa Ish, when they saw this person, Vayonusu Miponov, they fled from before him. Just by seeing him, they saw Goliath, they all went running. Vayirum Odin, they were very afraid. Obviously, Goliath wanted somebody to fight them, and there was no volunteers. And after 40 days, it looked like it would be a regular warfare. One army against the other. Nobody was interested in this one-on-one. Back in Pasuk Dalet, when we were first introduced to Goliath, it said over there, Vayetze Ish HaBinayim. The Ish HaBinayim went out, Mimachnos Plishtim, from the Plishti camp. Now, if you think where the Plishti camp was, they were on top of the mountain. He left the Machane, the camp of the Plishtim, Vayetze, and he came out, and he stood between the mountains. In this Pasuk, something else happened. This Ish HaBinayim was Ole. He was going up. He didn't suffice to just stand at the bottom in the valley and yell up, who's going to come and fight me? But it's like he was going up the mountain. And he was coming, Mimarchos Plishtim, from the Plishti army, not just their encampment and their tents and where they slept the night before. Where the army was, he left the soldiers and like was leading the charge almost. He was coming up the mountain. He left all the other soldiers and he went further than he ever did before. And Klal Yisrael was assuming it would be a regular war now, but it seemed that Plishti was insisting on a one-on-one. Nobody could stand against the Plishti one-on-one, and how exactly? And they were very afraid. It seemed like the Plishti was going to lead the attack, and they were very afraid. Vayomer Ish Yisrael. So the Ish Yisrael said, Hari Isem Ho'ish Ha'oleh Hazeh. Have you seen this person, Ha'oleh, who's going up? Kilachorefes Yisrael Ola, he's going to disgrace Klal Yisrael. And the Das Soifun throughout this whole perek, he seems to have an approach that the Plishtim really didn't want war. They wanted to humiliate Klal Yisrael. Starting out with that very first thing that the Plishtim had said, Goliath had said, Lama Seitzu Larech Milchama, why are you going out to wage war? And we mentioned, what do you mean to wage war? The Plishtim were the ones who started it. But the Plishtim had a feeling that they were really afraid of Klal Yisrael also. They knew one of the nations, two nations couldn't live in peace. They weren't going to get along together. There was either the Plishtim were going to be in charge or Klal Yisrael was going to be in charge. They couldn't be together. And therefore, even though they led the war, but they really felt as if Klal Yisrael was instigating it, they couldn't live together with the Jews. And Lama Seitzu, why are you starting this battle? And the Plishtim, I say, had their foxholes in the mountain where they would hide. And they felt like we mentioned before in Perek Dalet when they had that first battle in the times of Eli. They used that Lashon, Hischazku vihiyu la'anoshim Plishtim in Perek Dalet. Strengthen yourself and be for men, for Plishtim, pentavdu la'ivrim, otherwise you're going to have to serve the Ivrim like they served you. Or it's either we serve them or they serve us. We can't live peacefully together. And over here, the Ish Yisrael said, you see this Ish Ha'ole Hazeh, he's coming to disgrace Klal Yisrael. Or it could be he's afraid of this battle. On one hand, they like sort of feel there has to be a battle. On the other hand, he's hesitant himself, and therefore day after day after day, he's just insulting Klal Yisrael, waiting, because he figures the war's going to break out inevitably anyways, but they're sort of hesitant. It's not like he's coming to fight. He's coming L'Chorif Es Yisrael Ole. It'll be the person that strikes him, Yashrenu HaMelech Osher Godol. The king will make him wealth with a tremendous wealth. Vespito Yiten Lo, and he'll give, Shaul will give his daughter to the one who defeats Goliath. And the Gemara says in Tainus, on Daf Dalet, certain people made an improper condition, an improper request from Hashem, an improper statement. Shaul was promising the one that kills Goliath will get the king's daughter. And we can assume that Shaul had in mind that the one to have a zechus to kill Goliath, he must have a certain tzidkis, a zechusim to wipe out such and such a person like Goliath. And therefore he made that condition. But it was still considered, kefiyas madrega, it was a mistake. What happens if a mamzer would kill Goliath? In other words, what do you mean? Anyone who kills Goliath can marry the king's daughter? How do you know what's going to be? Shlosha shalu shaloka hoigen. It's not, they made an improper request that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should allow somebody should kill Goliath and he'll get to marry the king's daughter. That's not the way to choose a son-in-law. But he said, Vesbito Yitemo, he'll give his daughter, but that's what he said. Whoever kills Goliath will get to marry Shaul's daughter. The Ace Base Oviv and his whole family. Yasa Chofshi B'Yisrael, his father's household will be free from taxes. Yasa Chofshi B'Yisrael, they won't have to pay any taxes. They won't have to pay any money to the king. They won't have to work for the king. They'll have a special exempt status. Those are the three enticements to strike Goliath. Three rewards. Vayomer David Ahu Anoshim Ha'om Dimimo. David said to the men who were standing with him, Lamor saying, what will be done to the man who strikes this plishti? And he'll remove the disgrace from Klal Yisrael. It's a disgrace that somebody gets up every day and nobody's able to fight him. Who is this plishti ha'orel who didn't have a bris milah? Which, by the way, bris milah is mentioned among all the other milas of bris milah. That's Klal Yisrael, in our, a guy, even if he had a circumcision, that's not called, he's always called an orel. It's considered to be the biggest blemish that not having a bris is that he's physically imperfect. The bris is what makes a yid perfect, and the goyim, that's like the biggest disgrace. He's an orel. Kimi ha plishti ha orel hazeh. Who is this plishti, this orel? Ki cherif, to disgrace the marchos elokim chayim, the army of the living Hashem. Remember, the people were saying before he was l'chorif es Yisrael ole. He was to disgrace Klal Yisrael. But you should know it's not just disgracing Klal Yisrael. We are the Marachos Elokim Chaim. We're the army of Hashem. When you disgrace Klal Yisrael, you're disgracing the army of Hashem. Who's this person? Now, David knew exactly. He had heard it. He probably overheard what they were saying. But we'll see in a moment, he kept on asking everybody what's going on, because he didn't feel comfortable. He didn't want to go directly to Shaul and volunteer, but by asking what the conditions are, he let people know that he was interested. And eventually he's going to be brought to Shaul as the one to fight the plishti. The Mefarshim point out, it could be what David was saying was, you're talking about a lot of money. You're talking about a good shidduch. You're talking about not paying taxes. What kind of a nonsense is this? What could be done to a person who strikes the plishti and he removes the disgrace from Klal Yisrael? This guy is being mecharef the Marchus Elokim Chaim. What greater reward could there be? What greater accomplishment? If a guy kills the plishti, you know what his reward is? That he was able to kill the plishti. Everything else is nonsense. The guy killed the plishti and you give him money. He's way beyond that. What could you do to him that could be a greater reward than the opportunity to defend the honor of Klal Yisrael. Vayomer lo ha'om, so the people said to him, Kadover hazeh leimor, the following statement saying, Ko ye'yose, so will be done, lo ish asher yakenu, to the person who strikes him. Meaning, you're right, in terms of the fact that he was Macharif Hashem, in terms of the fact that he disgraced Klal Yisrael, you don't need a reward for that. Your reward is that you were able to defend Klal Yisrael. That alone is the greatest reward. But Lemaisa, the very fact that a guy, forgetting about what he represents, but if there's a guy like that, who's a giant, who's armed, who's fortified, who's you can't get to, and if somebody is able to defeat Goliath, Le'ish Asher Yakenu, for striking Goliath, this is the reward. The money, the shidduch, and everything. The fact what Goliath represents, and on the greater scope of things, for that there's no reward. We can't give a reward for that. You've already got the greatest reward by the fact that you defended the honor of Klal Yisrael. So the reward is not for defending Klal Yisrael. The reward is not for wiping out this plishti he'orel. The reward is for just having the courage to wipe him out as a person. Le'ish asher yakenu, the one who strikes Goliath, this is the reward. Anyways, so David had come to the battlefield, and he asked how his brothers were doing. You would imagine that they'd be very appreciative. Now, as he went to the camp, everyone was going out to the battlefield. You know, he could have just written a note, I was here to see you, and you weren't here. You know, leave him a note. And he ran, and he went to the battle, and he immediately asked how they're doing. Vayishma Eliyav Achiv HaGadol. Eliyav heard, David's older brother, Bidabru El HaAnoshim, and he heard David speaking to the men. Vayichar Af Eliyav B'David. Eliyav's anger burned against David. He was terribly angry against David. And Mefarshim also point out that David left all of the things that he brought with the Shomer Kalim. So, you know, who knows, maybe if he would have come to Eliyav and he would have given him all the presents from Yishai, he would have given him the money and he would have given him the bread, maybe Eliyav would have been more receptive. But he came with empty hands, and now Eliyav heard that he's inquiring what's happening on the battle. So Vayomri said, Lomazei Yoradata, why did you come down here? Valmino Tashto Ma'ad Hatzon, with who did you leave the few sheep, the few sheep by Midbar in the desert? He would take them to the desert so they shouldn't eat from anybody else's field. But who do you leave the few sheep with? And again, it's not clear, were they really just a few sheep, or was he just so angry he spoke that way as if our father only has a little bit and you're careless with the little bit you're in charge of. But who do you leave the sheep with? Ani yodati hazidoncha. I know your willfulness, that you're determined and you do it with kavona. Whatever you're doing wrong, it's not an accident. It's planned out and you're doing it on purpose. I know your zidoncha. Ve'isro alivavecha, and your bad heart. Ki leman ra'os hamilchamo yorodata. You're going to see the battle. You want excitement. It's like some people go to watch different types of competition. You love to see a battle. It's exciting. And remember, we had Eliyav before. When Shmuel saw him, Shmuel was convinced that Eliyav would be the king. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, ki adam roi elai inayim, Hashem yir al alevav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows a person's heart. You just see the externals. But you should know, if Shmuel thought that Eliyav would be the king, Eliyav is not just a plain guy. Shmuel Hanavi doesn't make mistakes, so there's something much, much deeper. Shmuel was the Roeh, the one who, besides his Nevoah, he was the one who was able to see things more than the average person. Whatever blemish there was we're going to see, was the fact that Eliyav had an anger. But it wasn't. Eliyav was very great, and Eliyav said clearly, "Ani yodati hazidoncha ve'isroa livovecha." Again, David HaMelech, we'll see again and again, he perfected himself and he worked on his midos. But naturally, he was born with a certain type of zodon and roya lev that David HaMelech killed his yetzahara, libi chalal bekirbi. But he had a tremendous nisayon. David HaMelech showed tremendous gevura in becoming what he became, over his natural, his admoini, the fact that he was this reddish, this murderous type of nature. And to be able to do it in Yafei Naim, everything was done based on what the Sanhedrin said, and everything was done properly. But Eliyahu said to him, I know clearly that you are terrible. You're terrible. That's what Eliyahu said to him. And I know you just came to see the war. Vayomer David. And David said, Meo sisi ata. What did I do now? Hello, Davarhu. I'm just talking. Well, what are you getting all angry? I'm just asking what's going on. I'm just asking what's going on. What are you getting so upset about? Obviously, Eliyahu many times rebuked David and spoke harshly to him. And David said, but yeah, but now, what am I doing now? You know, sometimes, okay, I have complaints other times. But male CCO, what am I doing now? I'm just talking. Why are you getting angry? And again, you see the godless of David HaMelech. That he was anointed already by Shmuel to be the king. And he went to see his brothers because his father asked him. And he went early in the morning and he schlepped along whatever they needed. And then his brother spoke to him with the harshest terms. He was mavaza him. And David HaMelech spoke in a gentle way. What did I do? I'm just talking. The fact that he didn't explode back at Eliyahu. He wasn't a child. David is around 30. You know? He wasn't a child. And yet he spoke with such control and such softly to his brother. We'll continue next week in Mirtz Hashem. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024.